This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The hadith number 6, brothers and sisters, the hadith of who? The hadith of Abi Abdullah Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhuma qal. What did he say? What did this companion say? Subhanallah. And who was this companion? He was a youngster during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, he was only about 10 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. His full name, Abu Abdullah Nu'man ibn Bashir al-Ansari Al-Khazraji. He was one of the first Muslims to be born from amongst the Ansar in Medina Al-Munawwara. He was born in the month of Jumad Al-Ula. This is about 14 months after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we already know that the first of the Muhajireen born in Medina Al-Munawwara was Abdullah ibn Az-Zubair radiyallahu anhu. Something which sticks out with regards to Nu'man ibn Bashir, after birth, his father had brought him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would perform tahniq over the infants. He would take maybe some dates, he would put it into his mouth, soften it with his own saliva, and then put it into the mouth of this infant, rub a little bit on the palate of the infant's mouth, subhanallah. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mixed his saliva and with this date and put it into the mouth of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was only about 10 years old, we said, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away. His father and his mother were both companions. They were both Muslims. He held different government posts during the rule of Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he narrates about plus minus 116 ahadith, about 6 of them in Sahih al-Bukhari. And this hadith, he mentions that he heard them directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other ahadith, he narrated them from other companions, but he might not have narrated them directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this hadith, the halal's clear and the haram's clear, and between them are doubtful matters. This hadith he heard directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mouth, and that's why he mentions, "I heard them with my ears." Brothers and sisters, there were plus minus about 30 companions who had the name Nu'man, but there was only one, Nu'man ibn Bashir. And the fact that this companion, young boy, he narrates this directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it shows us that the companions would ensure that their kids also got a share of the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They will bring their kids in the majalis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mashaAllah, so that the kid from this young age, he's brought up with this tarbiyah, walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, a beautiful statement of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu anhu. He said, "Rather I be weak in Allah's obedience, it is better than I be strong in Allah's disobedience." SubhanAllah. You might see this brother, you know, he is rather weak in terms of the dunya, but subhanAllah, he is strong in Allah's obedience. He might even be weak physically in his own body, but he is strong in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And somebody else, mashaAllah, from one gym to another gym, one program to another program, this person is strong in terms of the dunya, but very, very weak, subhanAllah, when it comes to the orders of Allah subhanahu, when it comes to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah musta'an. This person is weak in Allah's obedience, but he is strong in terms of the dunya, Allah musta'an, and that there in reality is a loss. Brothers and sisters, this hadith, the takhrij of this hadith reported in the famous 6 books of ahadith, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah. Also Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, he also mentions this hadith in his Musnad. There are similar wordings from other companions, Abdullah ibn Umar, Ammar radiyallahu anhu, Jabir radiyallahu anhu, Ibn Mas'ud, Ibn Abbas, Wathila, and others. Some of them are authentic, some of them have some weakness in them, but this hadith here, the one narrated in the 6 books of ahadith directly from Nu'man ibn Bashir, who heard it from the Rasul, the Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some general comments with regards to this hadith. The halal's clear, the haram's clear. Between them are doubtful matters. And many people do not know about them. Whoever stays away from the doubtful matters has protected his deen and his honor, his reputation and dignity. And whoever falls into the doubtful has fallen into the haram. Similar to a shepherd, he's grazing his animals very close to a sanctuary which does not belong to him. Ala wa inna li kulli malikin hima. And he is afraid, Jayid, that his animals might eat from that sanctuary. He might forget. He might be tempted to graze the animals into that sanctuary. He should not be coming so close to the borders. Prophet ﷺ says, Ala wa inna himallahi maharimu. Every king has a sanctuary, and the sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the prohibitions. We should not even come close to them. And then talks about the matter of the heart. Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudgha. In the body of the individual, there's a morsel of flesh. If it is correct, صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ, then the entire body is correct. But if it is fasid, corrupted, the entire body is corrupted. And what is it? It is the heart, subhanAllah. So this hadith lays down some very, very important principles of Al-Islam. Imam Ahmed, he said that this hadith here is one of the four ahadith that Islam is built upon. Imam Ahmed, he said that this hadith is one of the three ahadith that Islam revolves around. Think about it. Your actions could be from the category of permissible actions. They could be from the category of the forbidden and prohibited actions. Or they could be from the middle, the doubtful type of actions. And this hadith here covering all of them. We also learn from this hadith that it is important to protect one's deen and to protect one's honor. Deen between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your honor between you and the people, what people say about you, etc. It is important that we protect our deen and we protect our honor, our reputation. We know that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was at Arafat, what did he say? That's إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ حَرَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Verily, your blood, your property, and your honor, your reputation is sanctified. You cannot go around just talking left, right, and center about people, subhanAllah. The reputation of people, this is something which is sanctified, something which is sacred. And we should try to protect our reputation as far as possible. The idea that I'm not bothered about what people say about me, I don't, give two hoots with regards to what they say about me. In reality, there's a level of truth in that, there's a level of haqq in that, and there's a level of batil in that. How? If what you are doing is correct and people talk about you and people slander you, then yes, don't worry about what they say. But if you are doing wrong and then people say something about you, then in reality, you should be worried. You should be bothered. إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحْ That you will only do whatever you want to do if you got no haya, if you have absolutely no modesty, subhanAllah. And so we should protect our reputations. We find that Abu al-Hasan al-Ma'arifi, he said with regards to this hadith and the similar, عُمْدَةُ الدِّينِ عِنْدَنَا كَلِمَاتِ أَرْبَعْ مِنْ كَلَامِ خَيْرِ الْبَرِيَّةِ اِتَّقِ الشُّبُهَاتِ وَزْهَدْ وَدَعْ مَا لَيْسَ يَعْنِيكُ وَعْمَلًا بِنِيَّةِ. He said that the pillars of the deen with us are statements four from the words of the best of creation. Four statements from the best of creation. اتَّقِ الشُّبُهَاتِ. Stay away from the doubtful matters. This hadith. وَزْهَدْ. And be a zahid in this dunya. وَدَعْ مَا لَيْسَ يَعْنِيكُ. Stay away from those matters which do not concern you. وَعْمَلًا بِنِيَّةِ. And act in accordance to your intention, mashaAllah. So, he mentions that. We also find Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid. He said about this hadith, هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَصْلَ الْعَظِيمِ مِنْ أُسُولِ الدِّينِ. This hadith is one of the, super important principles from the fundamentals of our deen. Imam Malik rahimahullah uses this hadith as a proof for sad al-dhara'i, closing the door to any type of fitna. Something might be permissible, but it might eventually lead to something which is wrong. It might lead to something which is haram, and so we close up the door to fitna. The fact that we stay away from the doubtful, why? Because maybe we might enter into the haram. So Imam Malik uses this as one of his proofs to closing up the door of fitna. Example, Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Do not curse, slander the idols of the mushrikeen, lest they turn around and slander Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One might say, well, these are false deities. If we slander the idols, etc., there's no harm, there's no issue, this is fine, this is correct, this is haq. But if it means that they are going to turn around and slander Allah and swear Allah, then we stay away from it. And so we close the door to the matter of fitna. We also know that this hadith ends up with regards to the matter of the heart, and it shows us the importance of the heart. Walhamdulillah. So brothers and sisters, that was just an overview with regards to this hadith, insha'Allah. As for the wordings, then the word bayyin innal halala, bayyin halal is bayyin halal. Halal is clear, it is not unclear, it's not ambiguous, it's not doubtful. The halal is bayyin. And the haram is also bayyin. The haram is also very, very clear, mashallah. Either clear in the Quran, or it's clear in the Sunnah, or clear by consensus of the scholars. Example, water is clearly halal, bread is clearly halal, salt clearly halal, zina, fornication, adultery, clearly haram. Pornography, clearly haram. Swine, eating the flesh of swine, clearly haram. Alcohol consumption, clearly haram. Then the mushtabihat. Mushtabihat are the doubtful matters. I'm not sure. It might be halal, it might not be halal. It might be haram. It's got a shade of halal and it's got a shade of haram. Thus, it is unclear. لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس. Many people don't know about them. Why? Because maybe it's halal, maybe it's haram. Jayid, not all the people. Many people do not know the ruling with regards to them, but there might be many who do know. There might be many who do know. Also, the Prophet ﷺ did not say most of the people do not know. Rather, he said many people do not know. اتَّقِ الشُّبُهَاتِ. Stay away from the doubtful. Avoid the doubtful. Protect yourself. Protect your dignity. Protect your honor. We now move on, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, to point number 5, insha'Allah. Detailed explanation. إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنَ. Verily, the halal, halal is clear. وَالْحَرَامُ بَيِّنَ. وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ. And the haram is clear. وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِحَاتٌ. And between them are doubtful matters. So actions clearly permissible, clearly haram, and then the unclear, the doubtful. For example, the horse, someone might say, you know, some ulama say we can consume the horse, some say no, you know. The mule, cross between a donkey and a horse. The matter of the ina transaction, the matter of the tawarruk transaction. There's debate amongst the scholars. It's not in the clearly halal category, it's not in the clearly haram category, according to many. It is in the matter of the doubtful category, subhanallah. So also remember, the more important the matter, the clearer the proofs in the Quran and in the Sunnah they would be. Zina, quite clear, it's an important matter that we need to avoid. Allah wants us to completely avoid it, and so Allah made the proofs very, very clear that we should avoid. The matter that water is permissible to eat and water is permissible to drink, alhamdulillah, explicitly clear in the Noble Quran. So the more important the matter, the clearer the proofs. Jayid, thus it is either clearly permissible or clearly prohibited. Good food. Al-yawma uhilla lakumu tayyibat. Today, Surah Ma'idah, verse number 5. Today, the good foods have been made halal for you. And with regards to shirk and zina, clearly haram, because it's so important. Allah's proofs about them are super clear, and thus we avoid. Another important matter is that the more knowledge you have with regards to a matter, the less doubt you will have. The greater your knowledge, the higher your knowledge, the more knowledge you have, the less doubt you will have. Subhanallah. Why? لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس. Many people do not know about them. But the people of knowledge, فاسألوا أهل ذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. The people of knowledge, they know about them. Who are the people of knowledge? Jayid. It differs from matter to matter, subhanallah. Jayid, you want an answer with regards to medicine, then you ask the doctor. You want a matter with regards to engineering, ask the engineer. You have an issue with regards to the deen, then you need to seek the answer with the scholars. Jayid. And then you might have specializations. You know, there's an issue with regards to medicine. There's an issue with regards to certain solvents coming together. There's an issue with regards to contemporary matters and an issue with regards to nikah, etc. Then we need to seek those who have knowledge with regards to those matters. And as we said, the more knowledge one has, the less doubts one would have with regards to matters. Someone might ask, what falls within the doubtful categories? What falls within the doubtful categories? There's halal, there's haram, and then the doubtful matters. What falls here? Jayid. We find that Imam al-Shawkani in Kashf al-Shubuhat Ani al-Mushtabihat, he mentions number one, instances where we have conflicting evidences and there's no apparent way to resolve this matter. So we have certain ahadith about you should not stand and eat, other ahadith, Prophet ﷺ supposedly did so. So the scholars would mention that you know, standing and eating or drinking would be from amongst the doubtful matters. There seems to be conflicting ahadith and proofs on the matter. Number two, where there's differences of opinions of the scholars. And so for the ordinary layman, he does not know what to do. I don't know, yes, no, maybe, etc. So here, the scholars have debated, the scholars have differed. And so this here for the layman would be a matter of doubt. Number three, where for example, a permissible act, but by your doing it, it might lead to something haram or it might lead you to leaving an obligation. Imam al-Shawkani gives the example that somebody enjoying his wife, being with the wife, intimate with the wife, while she's in menses, permissible. But if it might lead to something which is the major haram intercourse while and at the area of if this would lead to proper intercourse, then that's the major haram and thus this intimacy with her while you are while she's in menses would then be from the doubtful matters. Imam al-Shawkani also mentions the example of somebody marrying a second time. He says because this man would have to work extra and he's going to bring upon himself issue and problems and he might not be able to study as much as he would want to. He might not be able to do as much as ibadah as he might want to because he's got to look after these two wives. So he said this might enter into the mushtabihat category, the doubtful category. Some might debate that. Number four, makruhat. All matters which are makruh fall within the doubtful category. Number five, matters where the proof for the prohibition is a weak hadith. Some have debated Imam al-Shawkani on this matter. But nonetheless, Imam al-Shawkani states, those matters where the prohibition is a weak hadith. So it's not an authentic hadith, but maybe to be on the safe side, you know, staying away from doubt, we would avoid. Number six, where there's a doubt due to certain circumstances. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions if you send your hunting dog, but when you get to that hunted animal, you find another dog with your dog. And you are unsure, was it your dog which killed the animal or was it the other dog which killed the animal? And you said Bismillah upon your dog, not upon the dog of the other. And thus it will not be permissible for you to consume that animal. We all know that in Islam, for example, if you have a trained dog, a trained hunting dog, and you go out hunting with this dog, and you say, Bismillah, go! And the dog goes after maybe a rabbit and kills the rabbit, then you can consume that rabbit, insha'Allah. That dog would be like your bullet, like you went hunting, and that's like your bullet, walhamdulillah. So here, this other dog was found with your dog and the dead animal there. You don't know which animal killed it, which dog killed it, and so you avoid. Once the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he found a date in his home. What did he say? لَوْلَا أَنِّي أَخَافُ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الصَّدَقَ لَأَكَلْتُهَا. I got some like doubt. Maybe it is from the dates of sadaqah. Maybe it's from the dates of zakah, etc. And thus the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not eat from it. Remember, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Ahlul Bayt, they are not allowed to take anyone zakah. And as for sadaqah, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot even accept sadaqah from anyone. Walhamdulillah. So these are certain circumstances. We also find once, Utbah ibn Abi Waqas, right? He claimed to have slept with the slave girl of Zam'a and he had a son. So his brother, Sa'd bin Abi Waqas, he comes along and he claims the son. He says, this is my brother's son. I want to look after the son of my brother. But Abd ibn Zam'a says, no, this kid here is my brother. This kid, this boy was born while the slave girl was owned by my father. So this is my father's son and thus would be my brother. Prophet ﷺ ordered that the kid be given to Abd, kid be given to Abd. Why? Because Abd's father owned that slave and she gave birth to this boy while she was a slave. So technically this kid would be her kid and would be the slave master's kid. Prophet ﷺ gave the kid to Abd and ordered, but he still ordered his wife Sauda bint Zam'a. He ordered Sauda to make hijab from this kid. Although technically now, according to that ruling, this kid would be the brother of Sauda. But because of the doubt, Prophet ﷺ told Sauda to observe the hijab from that child. And brothers and sisters, there is that principle in Qawa'id Fiqhiyah which states, Al-Yaqeen la yazulu bishak. Certainty is not removed by doubt. There are many of the matters related to this hadith and doubt. They also are discussed under that principle. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we might discuss that at a later juncture, insha'Allah. We continue with the hadith. لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس. Many people do not know about the ruling with regards to these doubtful matters. Right, but remember, Prophet ﷺ did not say most people do not know. He said many people do not know. And there might be many people who do know. Right, and also it teaches us and it shows us that there must always be some who know the haqq. Right, there are many who don't know, but there's also people who do know. And so the haqq must be known by somebody. Jayid, the earth cannot be absent of the haqq. There must be some scholar, some ulama, some people around who do know the haqq. Walhamdulillah. فَمَنِ اتَّقَ الشُّبُهَاتِ. Whoever stays away from the doubtful matters, then he will protect his deen and his honor. He will be free of criticism in his deen and in his honor. But the one who dabbles in the doubtful, he opens up himself to criticism. So this brother, subhanAllah, he says, no, I'm going to the nightclub to do da'wah. Right? I'm going to the nightclub to do da'wah. And so his intention might really be pure, etc. But when he walks in there, when people see him, etc., people are going to think, bad of him, subhanAllah. As has been said, if you put yourself in the line of fire, do not blame others when you get shot. Allahu musta'an. So one should protect one's honor, one should protect one's deen. And this is super important. Once our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was in i'tikaf. And his wife Safiya had come, and so he was giving her a walk back home. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her a walk back home. While walking her home, two companions saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ala rislikuma innaha Safiya." That, you know, this is Safiya. They were like, subhanAllah, ya Rasulullah, I mean, we didn't think bad about you, etc. But subhanAllah, they might have thought something. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is supposed to be in i'tikaf. What's he doing outside the masjid, walking with this woman, etc.? Who is this woman? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, removed the doubt, said, this is Safiya, my wife. And so thus he protected his honor, his dignity, his reputation. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that shaitan, you know, runs in the blood of the son of Adam, just like his blood, subhanAllah. And thus we need to be careful, brothers and sisters. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we take a short ad break, and when we return, we continue, insha'Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.